This episode of the Rental Income Podcast is brought to you by the all-new FreshBooks, where you can easily track your rental income and expenses and even send invoices to your tenants. You can get a free 30-day trial. Just go to freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lay.
One of the awesome things about being a rental property owner is all the tax breaks that we get. You really can save a ton of money as a rental property owner on your taxes, which I think is really cool. But if you don't know what the tax breaks are, you might be missing out on stuff. So on the show today, we've got Craig Cody. He is a certified tax coach, and he is an expert at helping rental property owners save money on their taxes. So I want to pick his brain. I have a lot of things that I personally want to clear up, and then also questions that listeners have sent in that they wanted me to clear up for them. So we're going to take a real quick break. We'll come back in 30 seconds, and we will dive right into the interview.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Norada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at noradarealestate.com. That's N-O-R-A-D-A realestate.com.
Craig, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. The first thing that I want to clear up with you is about owning rental properties in an LLC. We had someone on the podcast a while back that said that if you hold your properties in an LLC, you'll save money on your taxes. I heard from a bunch of CPAs after that aired that said that's not true, that you won't save money. And on episode 84, I brought on Sean McNamara, who is a CPA, and he told us you absolutely will not save money owning your properties in an LLC. But since then, I keep hearing from people that are telling me that they absolutely do save money owning their properties in an LLC. So as a CPA, can you put this to rest once and for all? Can you actually save money owning your properties in an LLC?
That's typically the case. It's not normally done to save money on taxes. The real reason it would be done is at death. There's a step up in basis, and you kind of get the full benefit if it was in an LLC versus inside of a corporation or... That's really the main difference.
Okay. So to put this to bed once and for all, you're not going to typically save any money owning a property in an LLC. That all the deductions that you would get as an LLC, you would get owning the property personally.
Correct. But okay. I would, even though I'm not an attorney, I would most often recommend an LLC is the place to own your property.
Sure. Okay. All right. The next thing that, now I've got a friend of mine that is a little bit crazy with writing things off. He writes off every little thing, and he doesn't always keep good backup or good documentation. Like maybe he'll meet an investor for coffee and it'll be $10 and he doesn't save the receipt. If someone were to get audited and they didn't have backup for every little expense, is that something that down the road would create a nightmare, or is there a threshold that if it's under a certain amount, the auditors aren't really too concerned with receipts?
Well, there is a threshold, but it really depends on what the aggregate value of all those, coffee meetings are.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, it's always a good idea to keep good records, whether it's in your phone and, keep the receipt. What's the downside?
Right. That's the way I look at it, that you're better off. I guess I feel like you're safer if you have something you can show an auditor if it were to come up.
Presentation is key.
Yep. Okay. All right. Now let's keep this moving here. So the next question I have is regarding cell phones. So if, most people have a cell phone that they use for personal use and for business use. How does that work when it comes to writing it off? Is there like a percentage of your cell phone that you should write off, or do most people typically write off the whole expense?
Well, technically, it's really a percentage of use.
But, okay.
You know, it's not something, you know, that I've seen questioned before.
Okay.
You know, you want to use it at least 50%. And if there is some incidental personal use, that's a different story.
Okay.
But if it's a business expense and you need it for your business and there is some personal expense, personal usage, you know, I don't get too caught up in that.
Okay. Okay. Now, what about the way that you buy your cell phone? Does that matter? I know a lot of times you can either buy your phone outright, or it's a lease, or maybe you're making payments on it. Does that matter at all when it comes to writing off your phone?
Not really, because even if you lease it, it's typically a lease to own, so it is considered an asset.
Okay.
So, you know, it's okay. Not going to make a material difference.
Okay. So typically you can write off the entire cost of a business cell phone.
Right? Correct. As long as you're using it for business.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, what about a car? Now, a lot of times rental property owners are driving to properties, and I guess that those miles would all be deductible. But is there a way that you can write off the total expense of the car?
No, it comes down to percentage of use, and you have to keep good records for that.
Okay.
Especially in a real estate field. So there's a number of apps out there that'll track that for you.
Okay. So it's basically miles that you're writing off. You couldn't write off the cost of the car.
Well, you could depreciate the vehicle, and there are limits for a vehicle on how much you could actually depreciate each year, but it's still based on percentage of use.
Okay.
So you need to track your miles so you can actually calculate what that percentage is.
Okay. And whether you own the car or lease the car, it's the same thing? Like, there's no difference there?
It's a percentage of use. Yes.
Okay.
You lease it, you know, typically a lease will allow you a bigger deduction the way it works out.
Okay. Okay. Like, what are some of the bigger deductions that a landlord might miss when they're doing their taxes?
Well, a big deduction is basically cost segregation.
Okay. So tell us what that is.
So let's your typical residential rental, people depreciate it over 27 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
They take the price, they subtract out the land, and they depreciate it over 27 and a half years. When you do a cost segregation study, they break out that building into 3-year property, 5-year property, 7-year property, 10, 15-year property. So you actually pick up more depreciation in the early years. Overall, you still get to depreciate the same amount of money, but you get more upfront.
Okay. 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 Is there anything else, like, besides the typical repairs and interest and property taxes? Is there anything else that comes to mind that might be something that people should keep track of or remember?
Well, I mean, it depends on how many properties you have, but if you have a couple of properties, you can hire your children to, if your property is all local, and you could pay them to do different tasks and monitor those properties and drive by and make sure the lawn is cut and check on the condition of the home.
Okay.
And thereby you can actually pay your kids and then use that income to maybe pay for their camp or their athletic camp or, you know,
right,
private school.
Okay. Okay. Now, I know that there's some investors out there that are buying real estate because they make too much money. You know, maybe they're a high paid professional and they're looking for ways to save money on their taxes. Is that a good strategy? Like, because I know that there's different types of income. You've got your passive income, like you would have for rental properties, and then you've got income that you would make at a job, which is in a different category. So, like, can you, if you lose money in real estate, can you write that off income that you would make at your job?
So, if you're a high earner, let's just say you're a high earner,
mm-hmm.
And you have, you know, earned income, and then you have passive losses from your real estate, depending on how much money you make, will definitely be limited to $25,000 a year in losses that you could write off. But if you make over a certain threshold, you will not be able to write off any of that. And it just kind of sits there for use, you know, in later years.
Okay. So if you make over a certain amount, you can't take any losses at all?
any passive losses, unless you have passive income. And right. That's where we work with other business owners sometimes to create passive income.
Okay. Okay. So it's definitely something you want to sit down with a tax professional to figure that out before you yes, go out and do something.
Be proactive versus reactive.
Okay. All right. Now tell me this. If someone is looking to buy a property that is ready to go, say they're going to buy it for $100,000 and it doesn't need any work, and there's another property that they're looking at that they're going to buy for $80,000, but it needs $20,000 in work. So they're going to be all in at $100,000. Tax-wise, does it matter, or is there any benefit to buying it one way over the other?
Not necessarily so. You know, I mean, each deal stands on its own, but, you know, basically they're going to wind up depreciating the certain, you know, the same amount. Now, there could be, you know, cost segregation that would equal things out. But maybe the $20,000 they put in, let's just say that was a new heating system and a new air conditioning system. If they did it that way, they'd write off more money up front because you'd know exactly what that extra money was spent on.
Okay.
Versus doing a cost segregation study.
So that money you spend up front, it's not a write-off per se. Like it would be if you put in, say, if you put in an AC unit 3 years after you own the property, that would be a write-off, right?
No, you would depreciate both of them.
Okay. Okay.
So most people, when they put a building into service, they depreciate it over 27 and a half years if they don't do cost segregation. But then 3 years later, if they buy a new air conditioning unit that maybe has a 15-year lifespan, they would write that air conditioning unit off over 15 years.
Okay.
Versus 27 and a half.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. So, all right. So bottom line, if you're going to buy a property and fix it up versus buy a property that's ready to go, there isn't too much of a difference tax-wise?
Correct. As long as you're doing it right the first time.
Craig, I want to talk to you about entities. I know there's lots of different ways you can hold real estate. There's S-corps and C-corps and single member LLCs. But before we get into that, I want to take a quick second and thank our sponsor, FreshBooks. FreshBooks.com has made my life so much easier. I used to have this box, and every time I got a receipt, I would throw the receipt in the box. And whether it was a repair person at one of my properties or a business lunch, I would take the receipt and I would put it in the box. And then when tax time came around, I would have to go through everything and put it into categories and add everything up. And it was a total nightmare. But now with FreshBooks, all I have to do is take a picture of the receipt. It uploads the receipt to FreshBooks, and that's it. I'm done. I don't have to think about it again. When tax time comes around, I'll just send a report over to my accountant, and my accountant can take care of the taxes, and everything's done. So it's super simple. If you have any questions when you're getting things set up, they have the best support that I've ever seen. The people that work there are so friendly. They're so nice, very helpful, zero attitude. So try it out. It's a really great service. You can send invoices to your tenants and, of course, track all your expenses. There's no coding. There's no formulas. It's just super, super simple. Anyone can use this. If you want to try it out, they have a 30-day free trial membership that they're giving to our listeners. If you go to freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section, you'll get a free 30-day trial. You can try it out, zero risk. If you don't like it, cancel it, but I think you're going to like it. Go to freshbooks.com/RIP and enter Rental Income Podcast in the How Did You Hear About Us section. All right, let's get back to the interview. Craig, so tell me, is there an entity that is the best entity to hold real estate?
Generally, if you own real estate, typically the best way to own it is inside, you know, an LLC, barring special circumstances. And if it's just one owner, then it's a single member LLC, so it's not a separate tax return. The beauty about that is, God forbid you have some type of, you know, accident or somebody sues you and you own multiple properties, if they're each in a separate LLC, it's really much, much harder for them to go against the other entities versus the one that the accident actually happened in.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And that's why we consult with an attorney anytime we form an entity.
Sure, sure. Okay. Is there any other advice that you might give someone if they're going to do an LLC, like things to watch out for or things that maybe trip clients up?
Yeah, I would have it done by a professional.
Okay.
Because God forbid comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God forbid there is something that happens and they are able to get through the LLC. At least you can go out and take action on the attorney that formed it versus if you did it yourself, you're out of luck.
Nah, that's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. Now, what about things that people get audited for? Is there anything that people should be cautious of doing with their tax returns that maybe are going to set off an audit flag at the IRS?
Yeah, the biggest thing we see is people claiming it's not passive income or that they're active in the real estate profession when they're really not.
Okay.
That's the typical thing that we see.
And there's a certain number of hours you need to work in a year to be considered active in real estate, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So if you have a full-time job and you're trying to say, I work full-time, but I also manage my rentals full-time, that's the kind of thing that kind of maybe gets a second look from the IRS?
Yes, especially because there is also something in there that says basically then if you also have to spend more than 50% of your time in that rental activity versus, you know, so that means if you're working 40 hours a week someplace else, you better be doing 41 hours a week and be able to justify that in your rental activity.
How about the home office? I've heard in the past that if you write off a home office, that's the kind of thing that the IRS will look at your return more carefully. But then I've heard recently that that's changed and that it's not bad anymore.
Yeah, I think that was an old wives' tale, but the IRS did come out about, I think it was about 2 years ago, with a safe harbor home office deduction that's limited around $1,000 or $1,500. But the bottom line is if you have an office in your home and it's used exclusively to, you know, run your rental income business and you follow the rules, you know, they can audit you, but you'll have the correct documentation to substantiate what you're taking.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I guess that's the key, right? You got to document, have everything and keep track of it. Is there a way that you find keeps people, I guess maybe a best practice for people to stay organized with their receipts and documentation?
Well, if they keep, you know, accurate books, you know, whether they're using FreshBooks or some other software, if you keep your books accurate and up to date, you should have all your notations in what those expenses are or what your time is and keep it all in one spot.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Craig, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. If someone wants to learn more about taxes, you've written a really good book. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your book and where we can find it?
Sure. My first book was Secrets of a Tax-Free Life, which was actually an Amazon bestseller. I co-authored that. My most recent book was 10 Most Expensive Tax Mistakes That Cost Business Owners Thousands. And then we'll have a link on your show notes, but it's www.craigcodyandcompany.com/rental-income. And there'll be a link there where you could click on and submit. And we will send you a copy of that book.
An actual physical copy.
Awesome. Or they could call our office at 516-869-4051.
Now, tell us about your practice, because I think that the way that your office works is a little bit different from the way that a lot of CPAs work. Tell us about your process. So you're not just sitting down with someone when taxes are due, you're actually sitting down and coming up with a plan for them.
Correct. We are what we would call very proactive, where most accountants are reactive. So the first thing is we deal with business owners and real estate investors. We really don't deal with individuals that have no business or real estate. Then we do tax planning, which is we look for allowable ways where they could actually reduce what their tax bill is. And then we come up with a plan and we help them implement that plan so they keep more of what they actually make. And we work with our clients throughout the year versus, you know, February, March, and April.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, if you want to reach Craig, we've got his contact information and the link to get his book. You can find that on the website at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode117. Craig, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for having me. Have a great day.